Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. This week I was finishing up work on a friend's website, and he does a missions organization where he takes trips into countries that have never heard about Jesus before. And as I was finishing up this website for him, it was reminding me of just the great call of God on all of our lives to go and share the gospel with people around the world. And some people wonder if there's a purpose or a plan to this earth. Does God really have an overall plan, and is he sticking to it? And I can assure you that he very much does have a plan, and he very much is sticking to it. And so today I just want to tell you what that plan is, because without knowing what the plan is, it's very hard to know where you fit in to the plan. And if you know where the plan is and what God is trying to accomplish, then your life can just open up to all kinds of purpose and meaning. So I want to talk to you not just about one little Bible story or something here or there, but I want to talk about the Bible from cover to cover in the next 30 minutes. Just a very quick look at some of the major stories of the Bible and what God has been doing throughout history and what he's doing right now and how you can be involved in it. Before we get to that, though, I just want you to take a moment in prayer to God. And just to ask God to open your heart to listen to whatever he wants to tell you today about his plan and your part in his plan. Because God very much loves you. He very much sent his son Jesus to die for you. He very much wants to wrap his arms around you and say, I love you. And yet he uses people like you and me to go out and tell others that that's the case. And sometimes we just don't feel that, or we don't receive that. And we need to know that God loves us, and we also need to know that God has a purpose for our life. He has a plan for us, and that he wants to carry out that plan through us. So would you just take a few minutes just to recommit to God, or just to re-ask God and say, God, do you really love me? Is that really true? And God, do you really have a part for me to play in your plan? And then as you're praying, if you'd also take a look on your message notes on the screen at a Bible passage there in Matthew, about Jesus and what he says about what this plan is and how it's unfolding. So if you would include that in your prayer time as well, I'm just going to play a little bit on the piano and then come back and join me for this message called What's God Up To? Many of you have heard some Bible stories throughout your life. You'd be surprised to find out, perhaps, that one-third of the population of the earth has not heard these Bible stories. They've not even heard of the name of Jesus. There are entire groups of people that are in number in the hundreds of thousands per group who have never heard the name of Jesus. And God very much wants to speak to those people. And that's what this website does that I've created for a friend called 1040window.org. And if you want to take a look there, and I'd encourage you to look at that and find out what the 1040 window is and how that impacts God's overall plan. But what I want to talk tonight about is to you who have heard some of these Bible stories. Maybe you've heard stories in Sunday school class about David and Goliath, or about Daniel in the lion's den, or about Moses and the plagues in Egypt. These stories, when they're told in Sunday school class, often have a moral to them. And at the end of the story, maybe the moral goes something like this. Well, David, he He was a little guy, and he was up against the big giant Goliath, and he ultimately won. Little David won against the big giant. And so they teach you that you, even if you're a little tiny person, you can win against those big giants and go for it because you can win. Or maybe they'll teach you that Daniel was facing the lion's den, and Daniel was having these lions come against him, and maybe you're facing a lion in your life, and Daniel went in the lion's face and he lived by the next morning. And maybe the lion in your life is the IRS or some big thing like that, and you can actually live through an IRS audit. Anyway, there are things that we take as little morals, meanings to our life, from these stories. And yet, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan that God has as you tie these stories together, and I want to look at that tonight with you. Let's take a look, for instance, at the story of David and Goliath. It's more than just about a little guy up against a big guy. It's really about what God is trying to do in the earth. Would you do that for me? Yeah. Here in 1 Samuel 17, 45 and 46, David is coming up against Goliath, and here's what David is trying to do. And here is what God is trying to do. God is wanting to do more than just beat a big giant. God is actually trying to use this event to make known his name throughout an entire group of people. God is trying to use this little confrontation to do a great thing for God by telling people that God really is alive and he's around. Look here at what David says. He says, David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth," and here's the key phrase, "and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." The key to that whole story is right in that sentence, that the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. See, God throughout history has been trying to tell people that he's there, that he really does exist, that it really does matter how you live, that he really does love you, that he really has a purpose for your life. And yet throughout the pages of the Bible, people have turned away from God again and again and again. For whatever reason, they turn back to their own ways. They turn to sin. They turn away from God. But God continues to call back to them and say, "Please, know that I'm here. Please, come back to me." And God continues to love us and love us throughout the rest of the Bible. And he could use loudspeakers, I guess, if he wanted to put some cosmic loudspeakers up there and just say, "Hello, I'm here. I really do exist." But that's not the way God works. God works through people like us, and he wants to speak to each of our hearts and then to have us speak to others. And so this is one of those situations, and exactly what God wanted to happen happened. David did kill the big giant, the Philistine, and people were so amazed that little David could do this that they didn't just cheer for David, but they cheered for the God who enabled David to do this. And the whole world knew that there was a God in Israel. The same thing occurs in the story of Daniel in the lion's den. If you turn to Daniel 6, or use your message notes, you can see this concluding passage there. If you're familiar with the story, Daniel was a prophet of God, and he was praying to God many times a day, and they made it illegal to pray to anyone except the king. And so Daniel was found out that he was still praying to God, and he was thrown in the pit with the lions, and the lions were going to eat him. They were very hungry lions, it says, and yet God closed the mouths of the lions. And the next day, when Daniel came out of the pit, and the king looked in there and he saw that Daniel was still alive, look at what Daniel did, or what the king did. The king's name was Darius. It says, "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land." Here's what he wrote: "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, for his dominion will have a never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. God was interested in rescuing Daniel, but not just for Daniel's sake. Of course, he cared very much about Daniel, but God was trying to use that event to make known to people all over. That first sentence said that Darius wrote this letter to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. Here King Darius wrote it in various languages and spread the name of God throughout the world at that time so that people would know that God was there, God rescues his people, God cares for us, God loves us, he performs signs and wonders. This is the big picture of the Bible. We see it again in Exodus. Here's a story that you probably heard as a child. Maybe you watched it this summer on the Prince of Egypt. But when Moses goes to Egypt and he goes to set his people free, and Moses comes up against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is being terrible to him and just doesn't believe anything that Moses is saying. And God says he's going to send some plagues on the people of Egypt. And here's what God says to Moses. You may have heard that story told in different ways as a child, but here's the way the Bible tells it, and the key is again at the end. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me, or this time I will send them the full force of my plagues against you, and against your officials, and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose,'" here's the purpose, "'that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.'" See, God wanted to set them free. God said, "I could have wiped you out in a second. I could have done this long ago and just wiped out all of you guys." But God says, no, the reason I want to do it, and I want to do it in this way and send plagues and the different things that I do, is I want you to come to repentance. Meaning, I want you to turn and see that there is a God, and I want you to change your ways, and I don't want to destroy you. I very much want to just do whatever I can to get your attention so that you will turn back to me and follow me. And again, the key says, "that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Story after story in the Bible, God is trying to proclaim his name. He's trying to let people know who he is. One more here from Joshua. Joshua is crossing across the Jordan River. And just like Moses, when he crossed across the Red Sea, God split the Jordan River so he could go across on dry ground. In Joshua 4:21, it says that God was going to split it, and jumping down to verse 24, it says, "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful." See, again, the reason God did this is that so all the peoples of the earth would know that God's hand is powerful. One last little note. There are many passages that we take from the Bible as meaning for our lives. There's a lot of good practical advice and wisdom in the Bible, and we can learn a lot about it, or about our lives and how to live our lives better and what God thinks about us as individuals. And this is one of those passages. In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And many people love that passage because you can say, oh yes, I need to have my quiet time and I need to be still and know that he is God and just take time with God, and that's very good. But the next sentence says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." The reason God wants us to be still and know that he's God is that he then wants us to exalt his name in all the earth. God says, "I will be exalted in all the earth." If people will just take time to listen to me, to learn from me, to realize that I'm here, I will make my name known throughout the earth. So many times in the Bible, we read it with an interest in ourselves. We're interested in what is our purpose, what is our plan. And that's okay, but sometimes we need to back up a bit and look at God's purpose and God's plan. God's overall plan is that he is going to try to save as many as he can before the end come. And if you're like me growing up, I really didn't know that Jesus was coming back again. I probably had heard it, but I never understood the implications of that on my life. Jesus came once, and he came to die for our sins so that those who would believe in him wouldn't perish when the ultimate end comes. Did you know that Earth is going to be destroyed by fire? Even scientists confirm that that is the way the Earth is going to be destroyed. They say that one day the sun is going to go out, and you would think when the sun goes out, it's just going to get cold and dark and the Earth would freeze. But the scientists say, no, that's not what happened. When a star runs out of power, it turns into a supernova, and it collapses on itself, and it explodes from the inside out, and then that explosion causes fire to go out in all directions. And that fire is what scientists say will consume the Earth one day. That the sun will actually explode, and that we will be totally engulfed in flames, and that the world will be burned up. Isn't that amazing that secular scientists who don't even believe in the Word of God, confirm what Jesus said when he said the Earth would be destroyed by fire? Jesus is going to come back again one day, and he's going to destroy life as we know it. But he came the first time to warn us and to die for us so that anyone who had put their faith in him could escape from the flames. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, today is the day to do that. We don't know when that supernova is going to occur. We don't know how God is going to do this great big fire that's going to destroy the whole earth exactly. And yet we can know because God has shown us that he will be faithful to his promise, that he will come back again for us one day. One of the questions is, though, when will he come back? And with Y2K and all the other things going on right now with the millennium coming up, people have a lot of questions and they're making a lot of predictions about when the end will come. Do you know what the Bible says about when the end will come? Jesus is very clear about what needs to happen before the end comes. He tells us in his own words when that's going to be. In Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4, the disciples asked Jesus. They said, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus goes through a list of things. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name. He says, nation will rise against nation. There will be wars and all kinds of things. Some of you will be persecuted and handed over to death. But in verse 14, he tells us what's going to happen first before the end comes. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel, the message of Christ, will be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, we have a role to play in preaching the gospel to all the nations. As I mentioned before, there is this 1040 window, this area of the world where the largest concentration of people lives who have never heard the name of Jesus. My friend, when he goes to a trip, say back into the mountains of Tibet or northern Nepal, he will meet and encounter entire groups of people, thousands of people, who have never heard the word of Jesus. They've never heard that someone loved them enough to die for them. They've never heard that their sins can be forgiven. They've never seen a Bible. They've never been to church because there is no church around. See, this gospel must be preached to all the nations before the end will come. If it has not been preached to these people, then Jesus is not going to come back. The reason is very simple, because God has compassion on his people, and he doesn't want to blow up the world without giving people a chance to hear the gospel of Christ. I say this all to motivate you and encourage you to pray to God and ask him if he wants you to play a part in sharing the gospel with all people. You can sit around and predict the future. You can look through the scriptures and analyze it and try to understand it and see when the end is going to come. but all your predictions aren't going to make any difference unless you put action to it. God has called us to go and do something that will actually facilitate and speed up the coming of the end. When we go and preach the gospel to all nations, Jesus says that is when the end will come. I want to encourage you to come to God and just say, God, let me know if I need to go. Let me know if I need to help others go. Let me know how I can pray for these people who have never heard the gospel. Let me know if there's something special you want me to do in regard to all of this. God may have different callings on your life, and certainly God calls us to all kinds of occupations, all kinds of jobs, all kinds of works. And yet if your heart is for seeing the end come, and not just predicting it, like a quote from a man at MIT said, I was working on computer issues, and I saw this interview with a man who was asked if he could predict the future about certain computer technologies, and he said, I'm sorry, we don't predict the future, we just invent it. They were actually working on the technologies. They were inventing the future right there in their labs. They weren't trying to predict what the future of technology was going to be. They were making the future happen. I want to encourage you to do that yourself. Not just try to predict and figure out when Jesus is going to come, but actually go and speed up his coming and facilitate that by letting people know that there is a God in Israel, that there is a God whose name is beyond all names, that there's a Savior who's died for us so that we could be set free. I want to play a song, and I just want you to ask God in your heart, is there anything I can do? Is there some way that I can facilitate this? And just close it in Jesus' name. Come back with me after I play a little bit, and I'll say a closing prayer for you, and especially if you've never made a commitment to Christ, I want you to consider doing that today. I'm going to sing this song. It's called Glorify Thy Name in All the Earth. We just want God's name to be known around the world, just like he was in the story of Daniel and David and Moses. I do ask that you would seal these prayers in our hearts, seal these ideas in our heart, Lord, that you are trying to do something in the world, and that you do have a plan, and that you are accomplishing it. God, I just pray that you would help me and my family, Lord, those watching right now, Lord, those watching later, God, as this is stored on the computer for rebroadcast any time. Lord, I pray that you would show us all what part we can play in making the end come sooner, what part we can play in sharing the love of God with others. Lord, I just pray it would be clear to us, and I pray you'd enable us and equip us to do what you've called us to do. God, I also pray for anyone who's never made a commitment to Christ, that they would do it today by simply saying, Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I believe in Jesus. I want him to be my Lord, and I love him, and I will follow him all the days of my life. I also would be glad for your encouragement. If you have been touched by the broadcast, or if you're even just watching now, would you send me a note to pokey@theranch.org and just let us know that you're out there and that you're watching these? And if you'd like to chat with us more, we'd be glad to chat in the chat room at the ranch. You can just click on the Talk to Someone page and go into the chat room after the live broadcast, as we're broadcasting this right now, and we'll be in there to talk and pray with you further. Or throughout the week, you can find me on ICQ, or you can send me an email at pokey@theranch.org, and I'd be glad to pray with you or talk with you or go into any of these issues further. Again, I'd like to have you look at this new website called 1040window.org. You can find the link on your message notes as well. And just take a look at that and let God speak to you through that as well about the great need that there is for laborers to go out into the harvest field. For God says the harvest is ripe, and it's time that we all go and take our part. Thanks for coming. I'm glad that you watched this, and I pray that you'll come back and watch another message live from the ranch.